Hi guys, we've got a special treat for you today because we are introducing you to First Dates, the podcast. It's based on the TV show First Dates and it's hosted by Frankie Bridge from The Saturdays and Cece Coleman, everyone's favourite waitress from the show.
And each week they meet guests with hilarious, disastrous or heartwarming first date stories. The episode you're about to hear is actually a really moving one with Nisha, who got swept up in a toxic relationship. She shares her experiences of love bombing and manipulation and how she found comfort speaking to other women who had been through the same thing.
This episode is a sensitive listen, so if you'd rather hear an episode about poo or vomit, they've got plenty of those too. You can find all episodes of First Dates wherever you're listening to this or on listentofirstdates.com. And make sure you follow at First Dates on Instagram and YouTube. Enjoy!
Hi and welcome from Podimo and 2020. This is First Dates, the podcast. I'm Frankie Bridge.
And I'm Cece Coleman.
You've finished the drinks and settled the bill. You and your date have said your goodbyes and you're immediately on the phone with your best friend.
So this £1 million property that I knew he was in for the 3 weeks that we were sort of together, now mysteriously he's sold it. He takes my car the next day and goes and empties the entire house out. And then all of a sudden comes back with two suitcases and he's there in my flat and he goes, oh, is it okay if I just crash here for a bit and then I'll start looking for a rental property? And I was like, okay.
Fishy behaviour.
In this podcast, we're letting you in on the post-date debrief.
We'll be bringing you the most amazing, bizarre and heartwarming date stories.
Cece and I haven't met our daters before and we'll be hearing the gossip for the first time with you.
Well, today, the story, we've got a little bit of everything. It's a little bit darker than some of the stories we've done so far, I'd say.
Yeah, so I would say anyone that sort of, you know, our podcasts are completely varied, but if this one feels a little bit too dark, then feel free to jump in when we've like had something where we both cry with laughter because that happened
before
too.
We've got those,
But we want to introduce the lovely Nisha. Hi, Nisha.
Hello.
Who has also been on First Dates.
Yeah.
Reunited. Well, that was like a long time ago, wasn't it?
8 years ago.
Wow. So yeah. I must have just started ish then. Yeah. Wow.
I felt very young. Looking back. Yes. Like now.
I still
talk about it now, but I'm like, yeah, I was 8 years ago and I was way younger and better looking.
No. But I'm guessing it didn't work out because you're here today to tell us a story that's not really
well,
nice.
Well, a lot didn't work out since that period of my life and probably before that as well, which is why I ended up on First Dates. But.
What a cool experience, though, to go on there.
Yeah.
It was super fun.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, really, really fun. And I met a really nice guy, actually. And to be honest, I look back now and think, I'm kind of glad he wasn't my kind of guy because, you know, what I took away from that experience was something completely different. I always used to feel really scared dating. And I'd always have to have like a friend on the phone when a guy was walking up to me. And I thought, after I've done cameras and everything, my dating perspective changed and I could just show up.
Love that.
And I couldn't do that before. So
love that.
Oh, nice.
What a great, because I know that feeling. You're like, oh my God, just stay on the phone to me until he turns up because I can't
possibly. This one friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was always the one friend that knew I was going to call her. And it was always because I was really awkward. So I felt awkward. I had this really awkward kind of past to me that was, you know, really affected me and my mental health. And then I felt like I was never good enough to be on the date. So I sort of like hid behind online dating.
Yeah.
And like was always, and I said it on the show then, like, oh, I hope people liked my personality. But then when they showed up in reality, I was like, oh my God, they're not going to like me. And then I'd feel really strange and awkward.
Mm.
But after that First Dates experience, it changed everything for me. I could just say, I'm going to show up and be who I am. I mean, I was on camera, so after that, everything
doesn't
was
get
just
much
different.
More exposing than that, does it?
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
That.
We always ask anyone that comes on two very important questions before
very
we start
important.
The story. And we want to know if you've got a specific ick.
Height.
Oh, we've not had that yet.
No, not as an ick. No,
yeah. It's because, you know, I'm not overly tall for an Indian girl, but I'm above average for an Indian girl. And I always find that guys, like, he'll always say he's 3 centimetres taller than he is. And
They lie about it.
Yeah. You know, I've been in situations where a guy's telling me he's 6 foot and I've decided to wear heels and I've shown up and I'm like, I can't go anywhere with this now. You know, it's like, do I start walking bare feet?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like that. So yeah, my ick is probably height.
Okay.
And what about a green flag?
What's happening? Yeah, that's a tick box for me.
Well, yeah, somebody being organised, just knowing where to show up to. I think I've never really, or I've never experienced that, put it that way. And then when you do, you're like, wow, you know, this is different. And it's almost so black and white different. Because if you don't experience, you know, you'll meet a guy and they'll be like, oh yeah, well, you know, we'll meet on Saturday. And you're like, okay, so where? You know, where, at what point? And all of a sudden you meet another guy and he's like, right, there's the address. You know, I've booked a table. Show up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't do anything.
It's attractive, that. I get that. Yeah.
It's sad because it shouldn't be. It should be normal. Like, it shouldn't be so like, oh my God, he booked a table. Like, it's just a fucking reservation. Do you know what I mean? That's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's such a bit like when someone does that for me, I'm like, oh, he booked a table.
Yeah. Because I think now it's really strange. I think guys realize that there are certain guys that don't do it. So, you know, they're kind of clocking on to the do's and don'ts. Social media's been able to give people information, right? Women talk, men talk, you know, people talk. And now it's like, well, you know, if you want to get swept off your feet, something like booking a restaurant is massive now. Yeah. Booking a table is massive. Telling you where to find them is massive. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, meet me at this coffee shop. You're like, wow, you know, you're actually going to show up.
Yeah, I'm sat on the right hand side, turn left and sit, you know, and like, you're like, oh, I don't even have to like do the whole.
But let me tell you what's even more like, wow, is when they use something like OpenTable. Their name is like on the booking, their telephone number's on the booking, they screenshot it. And that's how, well, that's what happened to me. Like, I got that screenshot and I thought, you know, it wasn't just here, this is the restaurant 7 p.m. It was like full on, here's the screenshot of my OpenTable reservation.
So we know how you feel about what you do and what you don't like. So tell us what story you're here to tell us today.
Well, that very story, I guess. The OpenTable
booking. Oh, let's call it the OpenTable booking.
The OpenTable booking. How did it all start?
So swiping on Bumble as you do, and I was on Bumble, and I'm this kind of person that when I say hello to somebody on an online dating app, and then especially Bumble, because the girl has to say that to send the message first,
okay.
I send a message as if I'm talking to myself. So it's very not, hi, how are you? And I know, because the guys don't like that, girls don't like that. You know, if a guy sends you a message, hi, how are you? I'm very different. It was like almost talking about my week in little bit of a blog. I'm like, hey, how are you? I did this week. I'm really exhausted, la, la, la. So it was like that kind of message. If a guy responds to that level, then I understand we're cool. Like we're on the same page. And that basically the clock was ticking with this one. And it was like the last 57 minutes and he finally messaged me. And I really...
Oh, so there's a timeout on Bumble if you send
a message.
Yeah,
there's a timeout on Bumble.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and I don't know why, but his photos, I just felt like I'm going to date this guy. It was the first time I ever thought that about anybody. I told my friends, I was like, why is he not messaging me back? I know where, I just can see it in his pictures, the things he's done. So anyway, he finally responded on the same level. And I was like, you have totally mirrored my message. This is epic. You know, I was like, this is exactly what I've been looking for ages. So that moved on to 4 days later. We had a phone call on Thursday night, chilling on my sofa, 4-hour phone call. Wow. It had been years since I had like an online dating
phone call.
Just like
easy conversation.
Absolutely. Like literally, I was like, yes, okay, you get me. And it was like mirror after mirror after mirror, what I loved, what he loved. We were just the same person. He was just the boy version of me, honestly. And that just from Thursday night led to the OpenTable booking.
Here we are.
So OpenTable comes on like Friday. I'm meeting him on Saturday, 1 p.m. for lunch. And it was that literally that screenshot. And I was like, oh my God, we've gone from like mirrored message, 4-hour phone call, OpenTable booking. Mm. And I knew where to go. And I show up and, you know, that's...
And when you first saw him, did it match up to what you were hoping it was going to...
Yeah, I mean, he looked like his pictures. So yeah, he showed up and he, you know, he's presentable. And I thought, okay, I didn't immediately fancy him, but the charm was on point. So, you know, go straight up to the bar, you know, he's buying me the lunch, you know, he's not letting me even get my card out and I'm fine to pay. I'm not that kind of girl. And then, yeah, that date went on for 12 hours, which is a revelation.
12?
Yeah, like
what
we went into
doing?
The next day. Like it went from like lunch to like then I offered to buy the dessert and teas. And then I kept kind of doing the tea thing because I just kind of thought we still have more to say. Like, and I was like, let me do the tea. And so we moved inside. We sat by the fireplace. The Anthony Joshua fight was on that evening. And one of his best mates was meant to watch it with him, but he got drunk the night before and called him up and was like, dude, I can't watch the fight. And I heard the conversation because we were meant to leave at like 8 for him to go and do that. I just was like, well, let's go and watch it together, because I'd love to have watched the fight anyway. Well, I would have found a girlfriend to go and find it in a shisha bar or something.
And
I don't know.
Anthony Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was like, really? And his face was like, really? You really want to like continue the date? It was like his absolute response was like, oh my God, you really like me. And it was really endearing. Mm. It was really endearing. And you think, oh, you're so endearing. You don't even know how nice you are. Yeah. You know, it was like that. And it was like, yeah, of course I want to spend more time with you. I thought from that day, I'm going to see him for again and again. So forget like just spending a few more hours. Like I thought this would go on for months, you know, on that first date. So I was like, yeah, of course. And then get home, you know, you get that 3 o'clock in the morning message. And he sends me a message. He's like, you're everything I could have looked for in somebody. You're so intelligent, it's going to blow my mind. You could actually even be funnier than me. And it was like, it went on for a bit. And I thought, oh, wow. I just thought, oh, wow, like he's picked up on every trait that I feel like I do have. Like,
yeah. Only bit that got me there was you're actually funnier than me.
But I get how that would make me feel really nice. Like reading that, I'm like, oh my God, he's done all these things. And now I've got this perfect message. Yeah. It's like
I think
feeding.
A follow-up message is always nice.
I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. And if you don't get it, you're waiting for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't come, you know, it was too late. It's like, oh.
And have you ever been on a date, right, where you've done this like 12 hours, but then you somehow still text for like 4 hours after you've left.
Yeah.
And you think, we might as well have just stayed together for that four hours. You know, and that was like that. It was like you just continue when you're not together. So it was like that. And it had been so long since that had happened.
So where did it go from there then? You had this whirlwind date.
From there, we had some more dates. They were perfect. They were just, you know, exactly how you expected. Now, one thing that really blew my mind is I own my own place and he owned his own place. And when we decided to get intimate, he decides that he wants to create the memory in a hotel, right? And so I think that's really like, wow, like, you could literally be intimate with someone at no cost right now, you know, whether it's your house or my house. Mm. But he's like, no, I really want to make this special. And I was like, blown away.
Had you been to his house at this point already?
So yeah, we had a second date and he booked at the cinema. And I was a bit suspect a little bit on the second date. It's really strange that I say this, even though everything worked out perfectly. He had sent me a picture of where he worked from home, his office. And so the house was like a massive L-shaped house. And so he had like taken the photo from the driveway. And I thought you could sit like at least 5 cars on this driveway and it's an L-shaped house. It's massive. But I was like, what single guy lives in a 5-bed house? Like, it was really strange. So when he booked the cinema on the second date, I was insistent that I dropped him home, because I actually just wanted to check, is there a wife and child in that house, you know, and would he let me drop him home? Like, do you know what I mean? So I took him home, opened the door. He shows me around. Everything looks completely legit. Like, there's no women's clothes. There's just no kids. And there's a bedroom downstairs and it's where his mum would stay. And there's a photo of his parents and everything seemed fine. But I did think, like, you know, 5-bed house, it was nearly enough, £1 million up in North London. And I thought, you live on your own. I still didn't, it didn't work out. But I was like, people are successful. It could happen. Mm. It's not impossible to be that successful.
So did he like meet your friends and stuff? Like, were you, did that ever happen?
Yeah. So after that event, the following week, I was like, well, we're good now. Like, let's meet my friends. You know, so this is now the third week. So now we're talking 3 weeks since the first date. Okay. And he comes over to my flat and all my friends are there. We're pre-drinking at my flat. And during that week, his uncle had passed away. And I knew that, but his uncle had lived in my area. So that makes this will be relevant to what I'm about to say. I just said to the boys, because the boys in my circle are very much like, I want you to meet a guy that treats you right. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's not about money, honestly. Mm. It's just about like, live up to your energy sort of thing, right? And almost like their energy, because guys need to get on with guys, right? And in the years that I've been out with my guy friends and their wives, you know, the guys are just buying the drinks. It's just the way it is, right? And so if a new guy is joining that, it's kind of like the boys get the night sorted out and the girls just chill and have a good time.
Yeah.
So literally all I said was, let's just get a table because it'll be easier between 6 of us just to like split a table and a bottle on the table.
Yeah.
Literally, as I went to lock my flat, he whispers in my ear, do you mind getting the bill tonight? And I was like,
you're about to meet my friends.
And the boys are like ordering the Ubers, get into this Uber and I just sit across him, you know, and I literally, my body language just switched off. Anyway, the whole night we went out, obviously I'm having to buy the drinks. The boys are noticing. They're like, why are you tapping your debit card everywhere? And I'm like, well, apparently he's going to pay me back. Right? Literally, it was like that. And I was like, I couldn't give it. At this point, I couldn't give a shit if he paid me back or not. So anyway, cut a long story short, we get back home and I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Who's home?
Oh, my home, my flat. Because he's then back at my flat now. Because everyone's gone to their place.
Right.
And he was meant to stay with me that night. I just said to him, I went, you know what? If you didn't want to meet my friends, because that's what I thought it was. Mm. I just thought he was done with me. I thought he had changed his mind. So then he's like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to see through this night, not pay anything, and just be out of her life as of tomorrow. I honestly, that's what I thought it was. So I was like, if you don't want to be with me, then just fuck off now. Mm. Like, why would you come to this point and make my friends now cuss me out for meeting someone like you that can't even put a £20 round on the table, right? And I was like, honestly, it's weird. And he's like, do you know what? Tonight I realized that I was going to lose you. He was like, I love you so much. I was like, what? And he was like, honestly, he goes, the 3 weeks have been amazing. You know, I stood there and the fact that you were so upset with me, he's like, I don't want to lose you. The next morning, I get a £200 transfer into my bank account saying love you, right? The reference was love you. So my friends are like, really like, okay, he's a vibe and you should just give him a chance. But then when I say to them, oh yeah, he's actually transferred the money, and you know, your heart just, it's like,
yeah,
oh, maybe
you
I was overthinking
almost, like,
it.
Show off like, a little bit about it and go, but yeah, he did a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and the reference was love you.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, when I think about it now, I'm like, what? And by the way, he didn't have any money apparently that night because he had just transferred all his money to his aunt to pay for his uncle's funeral. Like, you know, when you like think about a thing back, you're like, yeah.
So after that point then, did you kind of think, okay, like we're together now, this is a thing?
We're together now because he stayed at my flat for the entire week from that point, very nicely asks me, you know what, instead of going back home, can I stay at your flat for this week? Because I need to do the condolence every night. And we do this in South Indian communities, South Asian communities, you go to do a condolence every night when someone passes away. So I was like, that's really sweet. The end of that week, he then sits me down and he's like, oh, I haven't told my mum this, but I've decided to take a private sale on my house. So this £1 million property that I knew he was in for the 3 weeks that we were sort of together, now mysteriously he's sold it. And I thought, genuinely, the first thing I thought, because of all the nice things he had done, I was like, successful guy, like he's not showing he's not successful. Maybe just this family came along and it just went through and it's gonna go through. Now I thought a few months down the line, you know, I'd still be chilling in the house with him. He takes my car the next day and goes and empties the entire house out. And then all of a sudden comes back with two suitcases and he's there in my flat. And he goes, oh, is it okay if I just crash here for a bit and then I'll start looking for a rental property? And I was like, okay.
Fishy behaviour. Mm.
So I was like, okay, but let me tell you, I was in like this weird cloud, right?
Oh,
I was
of course.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know what? I'm 37. It'll just speed up getting to know him.
Falling into place.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it'll speed up getting to know him. Like, what's the harm in that? Like, what's the harm in getting to know somebody quicker? Like, personality traits, what they're like.
And also then if you've realised you can't live together, then it's done earlier. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And it's when someone, it's almost like when they don't leave you alone in your own thoughts.
Yeah.
You don't get space to then question and think, oh, actually, that happened. That was a bit weird. Because they're just there. Just feeding, fluffing, giving you more and more confidence. And you're like, oh, this just feels so good. It feels so good.
But listen, let me tell you, we went to Tesco to go and do a shop. You know, we were walking around like we were a mad married couple. And he hugs me and he kisses me on my forehead. He was taller than me. And he kisses me on my forehead. He goes, I love you so much. And then literally get to the checkout and he's paying the entire shopping. You know, and imagine me, like somebody that's lived by myself for 7 years and has understood paying my own bills and fending for myself. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got to guy
oh I know like that one is
creating this like family like because two people are a family and you know like you've all of a sudden you've given me this like reassurance that like you're going to boss the man things in my life that I've never been able to boss.
But at the minute you're thinking, okay, this guy's basically living with me, he's paying for things, I feel like we're kind of becoming this family unit all of a sudden. What changed?
Just his abusive nature. So we went out one night within a few weeks and he was drunk and he started becoming really abusive. And I didn't understand that personality trait. I just thought maybe it was just alcohol. Oh, yeah. No, it was really like, you don't listen, you don't learn. You know, it's like, I met you all of 5 minutes ago, mate. Like, calm down. He would just reference things like, about my flat. And I'm like, well, if you don't like my flat, get out. Like, it was like that. It was like, well, why are you staying with me? But the thing is that he had done these weird phantom viewings as well. So he was trying to show me that he was trying to move out. So he was taking me on these viewings and nothing ever transpired. And I was like, well, you're doing all these viewings,
good,
but somehow.
But also not good. But yeah. Like,
and then it was like, that's it. You know, he'd wake up the next morning and he was normal. It was normal.
So it's just when he drank, he became
That's when the abuse
nasty.
Really started. And then I started connecting it to alcohol, but actually that was his personality. It was just the alcohol.
Brought it out
because it helped him remove his mask, I guess.
So how far in are you now?
So 2.5 months.
And I'm
noticing this, the kind of the abuse that he's kind of giving me, but I'm kind of brushing it to one side because he did everything by the book, you know, like the love bombing that happened. He knew how to rectify an abusive
And it was
episode.
Just when he was drunk.
Yeah.
So it's
fine,
right?
And it was fine. Yeah, and that's what it was. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, these really bougie holidays were like put in the diary. You know, and it was like really scheduled. So we went to Amalfi, we went to Positano, like we went to Capri.
And he's paying for all of this.
Oh, he's paying for it all. Yeah. I mean, even in Capri, I had just got a promotion and I wanted to buy myself a YSL bag. And I don't have like designer things by default. Like, and it was because of my promotion that I wanted to buy it. He bought the YSL bag for me. And it was like, oh, and then I remember distinctively sitting down having like lunch afterwards. And I was like, well, you know, if you can't find somewhere to live, you know, you're more than welcome to stay with me. Because I felt indebted. I felt indebted for him buying me that bag. And then I was like, you know, well, you don't have to rush moving out if, like, you know, it's going to cost you. I don't know what I was saying, to be honest, but I was almost like falling for that as well.
Did you not think at some point, like, well, he can afford to do all of this stuff, but why has he not managed to move out?
Honestly, it's because I thought he was so in love with me.
Right.
And that is the truth.
Yeah.
It's such a valid question.
You get so wrapped
it's
up in
it's such
it,
a
don't
valid
you?
Question. And it's because you believe they actually are so into you. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that feeling often. And when you do, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to let this go.
Yeah.
And then, so what happens on holiday? It's like, in between the buying you the handbags and booking the nice holidays, what was his, because I'm guessing you're drinking on holiday.
Yeah,
what was
like,
he like?
The random little, like the nonsense that he would come out with. So I'm sitting there really happy, sitting in Athens. We're in Greece at this point. I'm eating some cake and he'll just look at me and he's like, your cake's not running away. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Like out of nowhere. Like I've done nothing wrong. Like I'm literally like, hey, this place is really cool. Eat some cake. I was like, and then I turned around and went, is that something that you should say? And he's like, oh, are you upset now? Oh, are you upset? Oh, it's all going to be about you now. Oh, you can't take a joke. Then I start welling up, like probably like I am now. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to sit there in front of people in the public crying. Because you're going to make people think that I'm making you cry. And I'm like, oh my God, you're actually psycho. Like literally.
All you're trying to do is eat your cake.
All I'm trying to do is eat my cake. And it was control after control after control. And it was like,
wow.
That was just one of about 100 things.
And probably the things that you're still discovering now that you didn't even know about, like the little like side digs that you don't realize in the moment, and you're probably still having discoveries.
Did you tell your friends about this side of him, or as far as they were concerned, was he just
no? He was still great. The thing is that I was getting lost in the moment as well, because the abuse versus the love bombing overpowered the abuse. It's actually that psycho. Like,
you get into that little like cycle, don't you? Of like, sometimes I think of like, all right, well, he's pissed off now. If I act like this, then he'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's happy, you're happy. Mm. And then they slip back into it. And then it's almost like an addictive cycle of like you wanting to get them back to that happiness every time.
You think you're the one going to save them. The thing is, that's what happens when you're with a narcissist. You know, now that I know what I was dealing with at the time, I was like, oh, but if I don't say anything, then he'll be happy. And if I say something, he's going to be abusive. But I was saying like the love bombing overpowers the abuse. And you can't see any difference. You actually put them as two different things. You're like, I'm getting abused, but maybe I was making it up. Oh, the love bombing's amazing. He's making me feel amazing, right? And all of a sudden, because you're fueling yourself on that endorphin. So he's giving me stress from the abuse, but the only person that can rectify it is him. And that's what's really scary about narcissism, because you have to rely on the person that's abusing you to also take you out of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize that. So you're suffering cortisol through the stress, but you need the high from them validating you back as being a good person. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm okay. Okay, I'm fine now. Like, he likes me again. You know, it's like, and then you go back through the cycle.
Did you have like a moment where you thought, I'm done? I just can't do this.
Yeah. So it was in Greece. So at this point, we've got Greece and Thailand booked. Greece is for his birthday. Thailand's for my birthday, June, July. There was a 2-week gap in between before we flew. And at this point in Greece, there's nothing I can do that's right. You know,
did you ever feel unsafe with him?
Yeah. Because that holiday, when he started to abuse me, like to the level that he had never abused me at, he realized that I was going to end it with him. And then it kicks in that I've lost my supply. And basically, because he booked the holiday, he also had all control over my booking, right? I could just buy myself another flight and come home. But it was what he was saying to me. He was like, and trust me, you're not getting on that flight. You're not getting on that flight. I will make sure you do not get home. So I was like, what are you doing that's going to stop me from getting on that flight? And it was at this point, I'm like, you are really, really scaring me, right? So he goes off and starts drinking with other people. I literally darted back to the hotel. It was like 2 a.m. I never had a reason to ask him what the safe combo was, because I didn't. I thought we were fine. Like, why would I need the safe combo? You've got my passport in there. Like, you're looking after it. I went to his suitcase. I looked at his combination lock number and I knew that that was the one to the safe. And that's the only way I could figure it out, because he left it on the number. So I went, took my passport, because I was like, he's going to take my passport. He's going to cut it up. Yeah. He's going to do something. So I just went through this really strange, like really weird, like emotional low. And I was like, I'm going to die. Like, he's going to kill me.
Because you're there, you're on your own with this guy who's just completely switched up on you.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm like, all I wanted to do.
He's also made you feel unsafe.
Yeah. And all I wanted to do was just leave amicably.
So what happened from there?
I was posting a lot about Instagram saying things like, you'll meet the person when you least expect it. You know, I was making him look like a baller, because I'm like going, wow, he's taking me to Santorini. Wow, he's taking me to Athens or Mykonos or Amalfi. Or, you know, girls were like, oh my God, where did you find him? You know, he loved it. So obviously he's now really scared that I've reached a point where I'm going to start using my social media to start exposing him. So the next morning he's like, completely humbled. We're about to get on the flight. We get the taxi to the airport. I immediately get away from him. We check in separately. I don't talk to him at the airport. We actually end up sitting on the flight together. I walk up to him and I say to him, you're not staying at my flat today, because obviously we would have flown back and gone to my flat. He goes, yeah, I've already booked into like the Sofitel, like at Heathrow. So he's doing everything now to try and make me be like, okay, now I feel a bit shit. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I do. And he's like, oh, you go and have your space. Everything that he needed to do, he was doing. He then comes back to my flat 3 days later to collect everything. And I now know that it's Thailand is in the diary. And he's booked this, by the way, for my birthday. And he's done business class. He's done, you know, everything that he's going to do to make himself look like a baller. And it was make or break. And I was like, do I go to Thailand or do I not? And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to go. And I was like,
oh, no. Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
But actually, at this point, it was not about being with him. It was about taking him for everything that I could take him for.
But you're not scared of him still.
You know, it's funny, because when he came back from Greece and he switched into like, Mr. I'm amazing, mate. I was like, you're just all chat, mate. You've got no balls at all. He's like, you know, all telling me how I'm not getting on the flight and whatnot. And I'm like, what did you actually do? You booked me on the flight and I came home. You know, like, in the end, you're just a douche, right? I will find a way now to go to Thailand and do what the fuck I want to do, right? And literally, that's why I went. And honestly, my friends were like, at this point, like, they didn't know the detail apart from one really good friend. And she was like, just do what you need to do. And I was like, you know what? That's what I need to do.
So what did you do in Thailand?
Well, I went there and I slept because I had no bloody energy, right? And
Is it in the same hotel as him?
Yeah, same hotel, but we didn't sleep together. So I was like, you're just a fucking idiot. Like, you know, that's, you can't take that out of you. Once you feel like that about somebody, you're done.
It's
right?
Like, not just an ick, it's like a super ick.
Yeah.
And you are just done, checked out.
Like, you look at every part and angle of them, you're like, you're just a fucking vile person.
Yeah.
Right? And literally, and it was like that.
So when you got back from Thailand then, did you end things? Because if things are already feeling...
Yeah, I was waiting for him to abuse me. So I was just waiting for an episode. And then I could have that solid fire in my belly to say, get the fuck out. And it was like that. I needed that fire, right? It's like, I couldn't just be like, oh yeah, hang around, you know, can you get out now? Because it was not enough for
I do know what you mean. It's a weird concept, isn't it? Because you're like, I know what I should do. but I just want you to be an arsehole one more time. Yeah, you need to push me. Because it'll spark me and then I will fucking lose it.
So it's something that in his personality trait where he didn't like repeating himself. And we were just making, I was making plans one day about my friend's birthday that he was meant to be at. He basically decided to book a boys' boys' day out on the same day, and then tell me that he'll make my friend's birthday. And I was like, well, if you just want to hang out with your mates, just hang out with them. I can tell her that you're not making it. It's fine. She's my friend. And then he's like, I told you that I'll be back at 3:30. And I went, right, I'm just clarifying plans. Why are you getting stressed? And then he was like, because I don't like repeating myself. I went, you're not the king, mate. Like, literally, calm down. You can repeat yourself. If, as your girlfriend, I need to just get clarified the plans. And he was like, you know what? You're just a fucking dick. And I went, I'm a what? And he was like, you're a fucking dick. So I walked up to his face and I went, say it to my face, say it closer. Like, and I really went up to his face. I went, say it fucking closer. And he's like, you're a fucking dick. I want to get the fuck out. I was like, get the fuck out and get the fuck out of my flat and never fucking come back. And then literally, I think that's what I needed. Like, it had just come to that point. And he just, he was fueled enough to pack. But then he would do this. He'd pack, he'd show me he's leaving. And then he'd try and sit there and go, do you want to talk? Do you want to sit down and talk? I went, no, we just fucking confirmed that you're getting the fuck out. So get out, right? What am I? He goes, do you want to sit on the sofa? No. I sat on my dining table and I went, no, we've just confirmed that you're getting out. So get out. And he shut the door. And honestly, my whole body just went like into fucking numb mode. And I literally burst out crying. Like, not just crying. It was like the pit of my stomach, you know?
Yeah.
And I just like, I wailed like a baby. It was
you needed that.
It was like, I was done. I was like, I can't, I don't know what happened. You know, you just like sitting there, you're like, what happened?
How did I get to this point?
Yeah, and I was so mentally broken. But I'll tell you something. You know, like the first thing you think about when you leave a relationship is just meeting someone else. It's really weird because it happens that you do think that. And I just sat there and I was like, I'm so ugly. You know, like he left me feeling like that.
Yeah.
Like I felt fat. And
he
I was
wanted
like,
you to feel like that though.
Yeah. He wanted you to walk
away. That was
away
a huge part of that journey. So when he met me, you know, I was in a really good place. Like I felt really good about myself. I sat there and I cried. And I didn't know what I was crying for. Is it because I'm going to have to work on myself so much to like find who I am again? So that was the real reality check. And it was kind of when I thought to myself, why did I let myself get emotionally, you know, abused, but also my emotions controlled? Like in these 10 months, I should have still done what I loved to do. So that reality check was probably one of the hardest things that came from that experience.
Did you hear from him after that?
Yeah, he tried to come back. Of course, he sent me messages and he was like, oh, perhaps there's other things going on in my in our lives that we're not speaking about, which, yeah, interestingly enough, I ended up finding out.
So what did you find out about him then in the end? Because by the sounds of it, like, you didn't really know what he did as a job. You didn't really know, like, why did he sell his house? Where was he going to live? Like,
yeah.
Did you get any of those answers?
Yeah. So when he was swiping on Bumble, he was getting repossessed. He never sold the house. He got repossessed and he lost his car. He lost his house. And he needed a place to stay. So the day he shut the door, I still didn't know that about him. The way it came about was I'm starting to get letters through my door and I get a letter from a debt collector and it's £22,000 that he owes a company. But obviously,
so how did he pay for everything then?
In March, so we met September. In March, the house got repossessed. So he got equity out of his house. And it came, because in March is when his pattern started to change. This is when all the bigger holidays started getting booked in. So he had the money. So really, the viewings that we went on, they were all phantom viewings in essence. The reason he could never get a tenancy is because he knew he'd never get credit checked.
So he
couldn't get tenancy. So the easiest thing to do was book holidays because that's cheaper and easier for him to have a roof over his head.
Wow.
Yeah, do you know
so
what
much
I mean?
Effort though, the whole thing.
So that's what it came down to.
And then did you do any digging into him? Did you ever meet anyone else that had ever met him or any friends or anything?
So when in 2020 in the pandemic, I did a huge weight loss journey and I lost like 28 kilos in the pandemic. And I overnight had about 1,000 girls start following me on Instagram because they just wanted to know what I was doing. I talked to one girl at the time. And then in end of 2021, so we talked about fitness and that was it. End of 2021, I met
this guy, and I was posting about him a lot. Now, so I removed all these photos and started to like stop posting about him, obviously. And then people started to notice. And then this girl that I spoke to in 2020, out of nowhere, she said, you know what? Like, I just want to say I love your stories, but please don't get freaked out by one of his ex-girlfriends. And I was like, wow. Oh my God. I was like, this whole time you have been watching everything I've been posting. And I went straight away. I was like, look, I know this sounds really strange, but can I please call you? I said, I'm sitting on my sofa and I'm so upset and sad about my life. And she gave me a number and we spoke for 4 hours. She became my therapist. She was like, she clarified so many things about him. She clarified the narcissistic behavior. She clarified the cheating. She confirmed it. And we spent about 3 months. She spent 3 months sending me voice messages when I just needed somebody to speak to.
Because I guess it gave you that confirmation of like, it wasn't you, it was him, which I know feels like a really like, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
But like, I think with narcissism nice and stuff, you start to believe that you deserve what they're doing to you. You've done something to trigger it.
Yeah.
And that it is you. And I think to have someone else who's been through it that goes, oh my God, he used to do that to me. Yeah. Oh, I felt like that too. That must have been so reassuring.
Oh my God, it was
you.
The only thing that got me through. And you talk to a girl that went through exactly the same thing and you're like, oh my God, like this is unreal. Like it's so healing.
Are you still in touch with them? The girls.
Yeah, yeah. So we were planning to meet up actually and have like dinner. So that's on the
that conversation is going to be interesting.
Yeah, but it's great. I think this is why these things are so important to talk about. Mm. The platform to speak up has to be there.
No, you need that support system because only you know what you've been through. So to have someone who's been like another girlfriend that's been through something so similar, because everyone, you know, we've all had shitty ex-boyfriends, but this is something else.
This is like next level.
What else did you do then? You say you've been on this healing journey since then. Obviously, you had her to help you out, someone that you could, you know, like you say, has been through the same thing. What have you done since then?
So the biggest thing I did was go back to Thailand. So I just got back. All the memories I ever knew of Thailand ended up being him. And so for months, all I've had is like these weird like flash images of like me and him doing things. I went back to do everything I didn't do. And so my first ever solo travel, I've never traveled by myself like that. And I came back just so wholesome. Like I was like, you can go back and reset your memories. And so I went back and I kind of wanted to take these photographic images out of my head. And now it's true. It genuinely has worked. All I think about is the days I went kickboxing or the hike I did to the Big Buddha or...
That's amazing.
Like sitting in Phi Phi Islands and just sitting there like in silence, you know, with the sound of the waves. And yeah, I went back and did that. And going to be booking way more travel, I think. And just solo travel becomes really addictive.
Yeah.
Because I always thought I needed somebody with me, whether it's a girlfriend or a guy, right? That episode inspired me to find a different part of my life.
You're so brave to go back. And I mean, solo travel is like, anyway, but all of the things you've done, you are an inspiration. Like you've done incredibly well for what you've been through. And I know you've got tear through a couple of times on this, but you are honestly brilliant. Like,
thank you.
Really,
appreciate it.
Thank you. I think it'll be a good one for people to listen to that maybe feel like they're in a situation that they can't get out of or that they don't deserve more. And I think hearing someone's story like yours will make them think twice. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening.
You know that little follow button on your screen? If you just tap that, and then if you wouldn't mind just leaving us a review, maybe a 5-star, that will go down really well.
From Podimo and 2020, this has been First Dates, the podcast hosted by me, Frankie Bridge.
And me, Cece Coleman.
The producers are Blondin Hogue and Fionn Lewis.
The video producer is Rob Walsh.
The executive producers for Podimo are Jake Chudnow and Matt White. The executive producer for 2020 is Martin Trickey.
Special thanks to Bruno Pias, Kendra Steeb and Fatima Patea.
For ad-free episodes, subscribe to Podimo UK on Apple Podcasts.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain. And this is It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.